Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at 1043thefan.com. Presented by Siltahara Motors, the home of the zero down with Chapter 7 and 13 bankruptcies. Regardless of your financial standing, no one should be without a vehicle. Visit the special financing section at sthmotors.com.
Well, the big story today, J.J. Watt going to the Cardinals. What does it mean for Von Miller? What does it mean for his future with the Denver Broncos? Is it important to you as a Bronco fan? Do you think it's important to Vaughn that he finish his career as a Bronco? Does that matter as much anymore?
I think it's one of those things you think about as a player. But the inevitability of the business of football will eventually, for all but a handful of players, will rear its ugly head. I mean, when you start going through the history of this league and you see a guy like Brett Favre finish his career in Minnesota, you know, the Jets in Minnesota. When you see guys like that leave teams, Philip Rivers finishes his career in Indy. Like, when you see guys that have to finish their careers elsewhere after reaching a level of stardom in their kind of hometown city. Like, Shannon Sharp went to Baltimore. Now, he came back, but he went to Baltimore and won another championship. Like, when you see guys like that, I think there comes a time where everybody goes in. It's kind of like when you go in to play, if you're maybe a historian of the game, which is, you know, was more prevalent in my time than it is now today with the kids that are playing the game today. But everybody talked about Mike hitting, I got to play in Green Bay. I got to play a game in Green Bay. Like, in the historic stadiums, like, got to play a game in Buffalo, got to go out there and see what that's like, right? And we all talked about stuff like that. And I think guys talk about starting and finishing a career in one place. But then as you become a little bit less naive and you start to understand the business of football, and Vaughn understands it. There's no mistaking that. So I think for Vaughn, it was probably important to a point until you get asked to take a major pay cut after you've signed a contract. Then it'll become less important. I don't know about the fans. Is it important for you as a fan? Like, to me, it's not important at all. You know, I mean, when I left Washington, I mean, I just wanted a job, you know, and Washington said you can't play here anymore. Now, I was fortunate to come here and be a part of this great organization. And that's why, ultimately, Mike, that's why I'm hard on this organization. Because this organization is my family. That's how I look at them. And I'm always going to be more critical of my own than I will anybody else's. Because that's how you operate as a family. Right? You hold each other accountable. Anyhow, you know, if the neighbor's kid does something you don't like, you send him home. If your kid does something you don't like, you punish him. It's the way it works. So, like, for Vaughn, sometimes the best thing that can happen to you is getting another opportunity somewhere else. And I just feel like there's almost, that's almost kind of where he is. And I think as a fan base, you'd love to see him finish here, but you want to see what's best for the player that you've rooted for a long time. Am I wrong on that?
I think you're more concerned about rooting for the team you root for. And in a salary cap sport, fans are sophisticated enough to know and understand, hey, look, there's only so many dollars to go around. There's only so many ways to craft a football team. Does it make sense if we're not on the precipice of winning, which we're not, to bring back a guy at that kind of money?
Well, but
And even if he plays well, how much of it is really going to make a difference? And then by the time he really is done, we're not yet a competitor. So I think fans are more, what's the best way to put it? I think they're more selfish than sentimental. They're more competitive than they are sentimental. I think sentimentality is nice, but fans are fans. They want to win. I think if a Bronco fan has a realistic outlook of where this team is at right now, they recognize now's not the time to be sentimental.
See, but therein lies the crux. That word right there was when if the fan is what'd you say is realistic about where they are, mm-hmm. or was that the word? The crux of the situation is, do you believe what we're telling you, that the Broncos are a far piece off from a roster standpoint, roster construction and quarterback, from being competitive? Or do you believe?
Okay, I see where you're getting at, because you're right.
Right.
I mean, I know.
So if you believe they're a playoff, hey, if we just fix the quarterback situation, keep Von Miller, like, we're going to win this division. Like, we're a playoff contender.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of fans that believe, like, I've had fans tell me that, I mean, I've had fans right here on this text line tell me that there's no difference between our roster and New Orleans' roster.
Right, or Green Bay's or Seattle's, right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, if you're somebody who believes that, I don't agree with you, but that's your opinion. If that's your opinion, then you mm-hmm. feel this is the team that can win right now, then you look at...
Right.
Wanting to keep Vaughn. And again, not because of sentimental reasons, but because his presence gives you a chance to win. I don't look at the team as being that close.
Right. I had one guy arguing me that they're identical to Tampa. Like, yeah. Their roster is identical to Tampa's roster. If you just put Brady on this roster, we would have won the Super Bowl.
That's crazy talk.
It's silly.
That's crazy talk. But you're right. I know that people out there do feel that way. There are some that feel that way. So in that case, I would ask those people then,
mm-hmm.
how does your view of where you think this team is right now affect your decision on Vaughn? I'd love to hear from you on the RamosLaw.com text line, 303-713-1043. Because I would assume that if you think this roster is that close, then
you'd want to keep
him. Is priority number one. Along with getting the quarterback that will take this roster and put this roster over the top. All right, we got four down. Actually, coming up next, where are we at with the quarterback position? I'm looking at the big board of possibilities, and he's at it again. The bachelor approach to quarterbacks.
Mm-hmm.
He's at it again.
He's just handing out roses.
You get a rose. You get a rose. You get a rose. That's next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors is the home of zero down. Regardless of your credit or financial situation, Siltahar Motors will help you get behind the wheel. People with poor credit or in bankruptcy can qualify for zero down and no payments for 45 days and be driving in their new car within hours of stopping by the dealership. Check out any of the cars Siltahar Motors currently has on site at sthmotors.com. Siltahar Motors is conveniently located at Highway 36 in Wadsworth, so regardless of your financial situation, Siltahar Motors will get you the car you deserve at sthmotors.com.
By the way, we're always paying attention to what our fellow fan hosts are saying on the station. Did I hear a promo running for Stokely saying they should give Vaughn a Watt type deal?
Yeah, match the JJ Watt deal for Vaughn.
My, how things have changed with Stoke. Wasn't it just a few years ago he was saying that they should have traded Vaughn? Back then?
Well, I don't know that changes. I mean, back then, Vaughn had value in a trade.
Well, if you sign him to that kind of a deal, you're still recognizing his value.
Well, you're paying him for your hopeful production, but Vaughn, on the open market, you know, it's always funny. Can't we just trade Vaughn for Deshaun Watson? You know, like, right? Like you always say, if I pile up my garbage high enough, then maybe somebody will take it. And I'm not saying
Vaughn is garbage, right. But you get where I'm going with that.
Yeah, the point being is from a value standpoint, when you're talking about commodities, draft picks being the commodities, Vaughn doesn't have a lot of value there. But because of his age and his injury history and all that stuff. So if he's got no value, you can't trade him, but he could still come back and provide 12 and a half sacks and be a disruptor on the edge, then what are you paying for that?
But Stokes' point a couple years ago was, hey, look, where this team is at right now, he's more valuable to you in terms of what you can get for him.
Correct.
Well, the same thing applies with dollars and salary cap space and what you free up if you choose to move on from him. There's a value there. There's a significant amount of value there. So the same thing. If you don't think that this team is ready to win right now, he's still a valuable asset from the standpoint of the money you free up.
Well, what is, like, from a value standpoint, he's still a valuable asset in that he's Von Miller, and Von Miller is a huge fan favorite. He's done unbelievable work with Von's vision in the mm-hmm. community. Like, there's still value there. Does he sell tickets? Do people go see Von? And if he can produce 12 and a half sacks, if you think he's on that, if he's still that type of player, there's value there. I'm just saying, on the open market in a trade, there isn't value there.
Right.
So his value is, what do I think he's going to produce? How do I think he takes pressure off of Bradley Chubb? How do I think he takes pressure off of Draymond Jones? How do I think he takes pressure off of, if we re-sign Shelby Harris, mm-hmm. like, how much does he take pressure off the rest of the defense, and what is the value of that?
Okay, then that takes us back to the ever-present quarterback question. Because if you think that this roster right now with Vaughn is just a elite quarterback away from being able to win 10, 11 games and compete for the AFC Championship game, then I can see why you'd want Vaughn back. So it's probably a good time to kind of take stock of where we're at right now with the whole quarterback thing. Now, I give Mount Palumbus credit because he's called a shot. He's identified. He's identified his guy.
Right.
His guy. One guy. I'm looking at his big board of possibilities. He's got one quarterback up there, Zach Wilson. I can appreciate that. Now, my man D-Mac is once again back to the bachelor theme when it comes to quarterbacks. You get a rose, you get a rose.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
you gotta be able to fall in love with multiple people.
Mm-hmm.
He's got Mac Jones and Justin Fields up there. He can't just pick one, huh? He's just gotta, you know, whether it's Baker Mayfield, Josh Rosen, Sam Darnold, Josh Allen, you know, same thing here. So, where are we at right now? Where are we at? Let's take stock. Where are we at with the whole quarterback, plan? What do you want them to do?
So, what do I want? What do I think is realistic expectations? Mm-hmm. I think that's the problem that most of the fan base has with me is that, you know, we're all like, I think most of the fan base is pie in the sky. Like, I'm talking to several people on Twitter right now. The Bucks roster is identical to the Denver Broncos roster a year ago. Jameis Winston. Okay, this is for, who is this guy? I don't even know who this guy is. All right, but whoever your number is. Jameis Winston turned the ball over 39 times the year before. 39 times. 30 interceptions. You cannot be serious. You don't, listen, quit. Just, and they still went 7-9. So stop with our roster is identical. It was just Brady. Oh, he brought Gronk with him and he brought, you know, stop it. Stop it. It was defensively. It's not close, guys. It's not close. So stop. Please stop. It's just not. So I don't even know where
what's
it was. The realistic aspect, like we have such pie in the sky expectations. Like all we need is Watson and then we're right there. If Brady would have signed here, we'd have won the Super Bowl because our roster, it's not close. So I think there's a real less, for me, I'm looking from the realistic standpoint. I do believe we're several years away. We don't have a linebacker on our, like a middle linebacker that truly is a difference maker. Hey man, AJ Johnson is a smash mouth downhill I mean, he's a thunder puncher, right? And he's got concrete in his forehead. And Josie Jewell's a really good player. But you're telling me they can cover elite tight ends in this league? No, they can't. Neither of them. They're not good enough. Sorry, they're not Lavonte David. They're not Devin White.
So what's your plan?
My plan mixed
with what's real.
Okay, so I like Zach Wilson a lot. I've told you that, mm-hmm. right? Could you move up? Could you get all the way up to number two with the Jets and make that? If you could, I would make that move and I would start there. But I don't believe you're going to do that. And
even with your emphasis on roster building.
Even with my emphasis on roster building, because it's salary control for the next 5 years.
But you'd go after him.
Certainly I would.
Okay.
But I don't believe you're going to do that. I don't believe that you're going to, depending upon what the Jets are going to hold you hostage for, I just don't believe that that's going to happen. So I'm going more the realistic. Let's build the roster. I would even trade out a number. If I could trade out a number 9 and go down even 4 or 5 picks and now pick up multiple first rounders or multiple second rounders on top of that, I would do that in a heartbeat because the quarterbacks are going to elevate. There are going to be a bunch of quarterbacks that are going to be taken where they shouldn't be taken.
Right.
And so you're still going to get a top 10 player at 14.
Yeah.
For
instance. And I love the Zach Wilson story, but you know what? A lot of these quarterbacks have great stories, you know? And
right.
I'm looking at the recent history of quarterbacks that have been taken in the first round. No thanks. No thanks. I'd rather bet on the idea that Drew Lock can make a jump in year 3, but I am going to protect myself with a veteran quarterback. My stance has not changed at the quarterback position, unlike, you know, the schizophrenia approach by my guy in the afternoon, where literally it changes every week. I mean, it changes every day. Every day, every week, there's a new, you know, some people find that creative. I just find it like all over the place. But no, I have the same philosophy I've had for 3 months now. Bring back Drew Lock with the idea that you think he can make a jump. Provide a safety net with a veteran quarterback. And then guess what? If it doesn't work out, there'll be another new crop of quarterbacks next year that will include that year's Justin Fields, mm-hmm. that year's Zach Wilson, that year's Mac Jones, that year's Trey Lance. It's the cycle we're in. So now, the only thing I would change is that if Deshaun Watson comes available, yeah, then
you try to make
then we
you
talk, try to then we talk about
yeah.
that. We talk about that. But other than that, no, my philosophy is the same. It hasn't changed for 3 months now. All right, we got the four down territory coming up next. When it comes to that veteran quarterback, should we add this guy to the list? That's next.
Are you ready for some football?
This is Four Down Territory.
Words cannot say how much I truly love you.
Donkey Kong Sue.
Double team, leaping high, falling hard.
No soy fiesta.
Hurry, hurry.
On Sports Radio 104.3, The Fan. First down.
Stafford back to throw. And he dumps it off. It's picked off by JJ across the 15, 10, 5. Rock and roll. What? Pick 6.
Texans radio, J.J. Watt goes to the Cardinals, a team that nobody talked about when it came to the possible landing spots for J.J. Watt. Now, by according to some reports, some other teams like Cleveland or Indy offered him more money.
Uh-huh.
You've done your fair share of Arizona games over the last couple of years. I mean, is this to steal a line from George Payton, is this a sleeping giant? Did this guy actually go to Arizona with the intent to win?
I do believe he thinks they can win. I do believe that. He's reuniting with his buddy DeAndre Hopkins. They're a talented team. Like, they had a lull toward the middle, you know, in the part of the third and fourth quarter. They had a lull where they struggled a little bit, but I do believe they're on some type of stable ground. I'm not sold on their offense. I'm not sold on, like, when it's clicking, it's great, but they can't just turn it into smash mouth, and that's a problem with those type of teams. But I do believe he thinks he's got as much chance of going to a playoff or going to a Super Bowl in Arizona than he would have in Cleveland based upon the AFC, or he would have in, you know, in Indy. I mean, maybe he's going to the NFC just to get away from Kansas City.
And Mahomes. Speaking of that, next in four down territory.
Second down. I'm going to do whatever I can to kind of look at the film and try to find ways to get better. I mean, obviously, with our offense and the success that we've had, when teams see that the defensive plan that he had and how well it worked, they're obviously going to try to do the same thing. And so try to find ways to combat that and kind of the evolution of our offense where we're going to have to do better things and be more efficient.
The Kansas City Chiefs are hopeful that Patrick Mahomes will have recovered from recent toe surgery to participate in the team's June minicamp. And the expectation is that he will be ready to go by the start of training camp. Just how big of a deal was that toe?
Anytime you have to have surgery on it, it's a big deal.
I'll tell you the other thing about turf toe.
How much
toe.
Did it impact his performance in the Super Bowl?
Oh, it didn't impact his performance in the Super Bowl like Tampa Bay impacted his performance in the Super Bowl. And to think that you're gonna look at that film and say, that's what we're going to do, good luck. Yeah, because you've got middle linebackers that run 4.38s, right? Good luck. You got three safeties who are legit, and you got three corners who are legit cover corners. So you can play nickel, you can play dime, you can play whatever you want. Good luck. Oh, you got edge rushers.
There's volumes to this team, yeah. And like how much heart and determination that we have.
Yeah, phenomenal. It was. You know what? It was complimentary.
Phenomenal.
He is that good. Phenomenal. But Tampa Bay is. I mean, I'm just telling you, you don't have what Tampa had to execute. So it's really like you can sit there and say, you know, people are going to try to copycat that, but they don't. People just don't have those players that the Bucs have.
Next in four down territory.
Down. He is in the gun. Two wide receivers left. Smith has it. He's looking left the whole way, going for the corner of the end zone. Terry McLaurin! Touchdown! Touchdown, Washington! 5-yard pass, Alex Smith to Terry McLaurin.
Washington Football Team Radio. As expected, the football team and Alex Smith parting ways. So What's next for Alex Smith? Does he fit the bill at what you might be looking for here?
Oh, he would be a phenomenal mentor. I mean, phenomenal, man. Does he want an opportunity to play? And can you trust him to be able to answer the bell? He couldn't answer it in, you know, full time in Washington. And, you know, maybe another year removed and another year of rehab, he can. He's just a remarkable story. He's a remarkable veteran. He's a remarkable player. Just a remarkable man. I think he would be a great man. If you can't get a guy to come in and compete, he'd be incredible from a mentor standpoint. I just don't know, like, can you trust his health, you know, for 16, 17, well, it's going to be 17 weeks. Can you trust his health for 17 weeks? And the answer is probably not.
No, you need to bring in a guy here, as I've said for 3 months now. You are hoping, you are planning on the idea that Locke can make an improvement in year three. But you have to cover yourself. You can't just put it all on him because you got a season to play. So you have to have a quarterback, a veteran quarterback that you're confident can be your quarterback for the majority of the year. Mm-hmm. And right now with Alex Smith, you can't get the most perfect spot. Look, the most perfect spot for him is Jacksonville. He gets reunited with Urban Meyer. And mentors Trevor Lawrence.
Trevor Lawrence.
Ugh. That makes perfect sense. All right, next on Four Down Territory.
Fourth Down.
So I'd like to thank first and foremost my teammates for their support, their inspiration, protection, the incredible play on the field. The coaching staff, for their efforts to make this thing fun every single week. The energy, the positivity, and the daily presentations really kept us going.
Hey, good move by Aaron Rodgers. Donated more than $1 million to small, locally owned businesses in and around his hometown of Chico, California.
Relax.
As he said in a statement, quote, small, locally owned businesses are the heart and soul of a community. In the applications and the videos, it was heart-wrenching to hear about all the obstacles facing restaurants and retail establishments. So many of them are struggling just to stay in business, but remain hopeful that there's an end to this. And he donated over $1 million.
That's
good
right.
For him.
Yeah. Good on Aaron, man. That's awesome.
Good for him. That is cool.
So there you go. Finish up there with a good story. That'll do it for Four Down Territory. Our tour around the NFL brings to you each and every morning at 7:30. All right. As always, a lot of reaction on the Ramelsaw.com text line. A lot of reaction to the whole quarterback debate. So we'll get to all of that. We'll hear from you. Your hot takes. We'll do that next.
You got a specific question for Mark? Hit us up on the Ramelsaw.com text line, 303-713-1043. Just put it in the context of hashtag question mark. Away we go. We'll get to what happened last night with the Nuggets and Avalanche. Some thoughts on both. But I want to get to some text here. Evans, you're so safe with your quarterback strategy. I would say that gambling on Drew Lock to make a jump in year three isn't exactly safe, is it? That's a gamble, is it not? The gamble I'm willing to take while recognizing that this is still a roster that needs a lot of upgrades. So I don't think that's safe. Not safe. I get it. People at this time, especially as we get closer to the draft and these quarterbacks start to get hyped up, I get it. And it's,
oh yeah,
it's smart what my guy D-Mac does, even though he changes his mind literally every week, if not daily. I should call it the underwear strategy because he changes it every day. But I get it. It's people want to believe the next big thing is right around the corner. And that's the beauty of the draft. I'm sorry. I choose to look at the whole idea of taking quarterbacks in the first round more realistically and pragmatically. And the fact is that we are in a 20 plus year window in which first round quarterbacks have a lousy track record. A lousy track record. Never mind the fact it's just between 2009 and 2016, 22 quarterbacks taken the first round. None are with the team right now that drafted them. It is a flawed, if not failed, model. And I don't choose to jump into it. Some of you do. And some of you insist the next big thing is right around the corner, whether it be Trey Lance or Zach Wilson. Fine. I'm not going to change your mind, but you're not going to change mine. So my gamble is, yeah, let's see if Drew Lock has the potential to make a jump in year three. And if he doesn't, then you know what you've done in the process? You've continued to build your football team, and then next year you're right back into what will be the same. It'll be the same. We'll have four or five quarterbacks who can't miss. Four or five quarterbacks who will be all projected to go in the first round. Four or five quarterbacks who in November will be, yeah, he's a, you know, second or third round pick. But then as we get into the draft process, they'll jump up into the first round. It's so obvious right. What's going to happen.
Just look at the last 3 years. 2018, Baker Mayfield was a second, third rounder. Second day draft pick when the whole process started. Where did he end up going? Number one overall. All right, let's go to 2019. Kyler Murray was a second day draft pick. He was second, third, fourth rounder who went all the way up to number one. All right, let's go to 2020. Joe Burrow was a seventh rounder when he started the season, sixth or seventh rounder. He went all the way up to number one. So three quarterbacks that went into their senior years or their last year of competition as a second day pick, won a third day pick, all went number one overall. So you don't think somebody's going to have a meteoric rise next college football season? Of course they will. Of course there's going to be a bunch of guys that all of a sudden will be next year's crop of the Hall of Fame five that can't miss. This is every year. This is why I always say it doesn't bother me to take a quarterback in the first round. Listen, if you take enough of them, if I throw enough darts, you know what's going to happen? Eventually I'll hit a bullseye if I throw enough darts. But the bottom line is I'm not going to hit a bullseye every time because I'm not that good at darts. And so if you look at the draft, Mike, and everybody goes, well, you got to have one in the first round. Why? Because 90% of them are taken in the first round. Of course, if everybody's taken in the first round or 90% of them are taken in the first round and they're getting more opportunities, one of them is going to hit. You're eventually going to have a Josh Allen. My point is this. Be a good enough evaluator to understand and to take a calculated risk on a guy. And then to build a football team around him. You know, if you look at all these quarterbacks, look at all these quarterbacks. The Cleveland Browns went through, they went through 20 years of dreck. But you know what they did their last 3 or 4 years? Under, what was it, the GM's name? John Dorsey, under John Dorsey, and you know what they did in Buffalo when Bean took over along with Sean McDermott? They built their rosters, Mike. And I'm not talking about, hold on for 1 second. Talk amongst yourself for a second.
Okay. You're grabbing some notes. Mark's grabbing some notes. He's got some notes.
Those are at home.
Oh, but.
Okay. Okay. Yes, Dad. Sorry. They're in my football.
We get Mrs. Esther. We get Mrs. Esther running over.
They're in my football notebook. But they not only drafted well, Mike, and built their roster, but they didn't just draft starters. They drafted Pro Bowlers. They drafted difference makers. That's what they drafted in Cleveland. You know, when you get a Larry Ogunjobi and you get a Miles Garrett and you get a Denzel Ward and you get a Nick Chubb in the draft and you get, I'm not talking about Josie Jewell and AJ Alexander. They're starters, but are they difference makers? When you get a Tre'Varius White, you know, when you get a Edmonds at the middle linebacker, when you get those type of players, Mike, they make a difference. They're Pro Bowl caliber players and you build the roster and then guess what? You're still not great because you haven't solved the quarterback conundrum. And then you go get yourself a Josh Allen. You go get yourself a Baker Mayfield. You go get yourself, you know, a Joe Burrow. And you hope that you've built a good enough roster when that guy comes, and eventually he will, that you're going to be good enough around him to help that guy develop and win games. Come on now. Josh Allen, the first 2 years, were there we have this revisionist history. Like, I told you we should have taken Josh Allen at number 5 or Baker Mayfield or, you know, Sam Darnold or Josh Rosen or whoever was there, right? But the bottom line is you built a good enough roster in Baltimore, in Buffalo, over 20 years of garbage, right? But most importantly, after McDermott got there. And after Bean got there, because those guys had a philosophy of what they were going to do. When you talk to Sean McDermott, who, you know, I talked to this season, when you talk to Sean McDermott, you know, one of his biggest draft things that he wants to develop? He wants as many wrestlers, high school and college wrestlers, as possible. Give me a guy with a wrestling background. Like, that's part of... Every scout knows within that organization, I want dudes that wrestled because they're the toughest SOBs that you can get. And they know how hard hard work provides and all that stuff. And they understand body balance. They understand all that. I mean, it's fascinating to listen to philosophies instead of, hey, throw darts at quarterbacks. Anyone will do as long as we get one in the first round.
Yeah, but you know what? And I'm getting a lot of this on the text line. People are okay with throwing darts, apparently. And as much evidence as I throw out, as much facts as I throw out, that this is a flawed, if not failed, model over the last 20 years, people are like, yeah, well, that's okay. Keep doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And if we miss on a guy, keep doing it again. Listen, I think that's the kind of mindset that ends up making to the Cleveland Browns for 25, 30 years of being irrelevant.
Sure.
You know, I mean, the Buffalo Bills, everyone's happy with the Bills now. Where were they the last 20 plus years? Irrelevant. You know, because they had that kind of mindset. You know, I I know it's not the sexy way of going about it. I apologize, but, you know, I just think that there are, if you build an organization that has people that know how to recognize talent, knows how to develop talent, then if you have those kind of people in place, you're going to be able to find and develop quarterbacks all over the place. And in the process, you're going to build a really good football team. But I get it. Some of you just are like, hey, I don't, that's hard to do. I'd rather just take a chance on a guy that Mel Kiper Jr. and Todd McShay believe are a top 10 quarterback. I get it. I get it. There's hope around the, everybody wants to believe hope's right around that corner. All it takes is that next pick. This is the guy.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I got 20 years, 20 plus years that shows it's a failed model. It is a failed model. And if you are basing the direction and the hope and the success of your franchise on that model, like, I think it's just too unnecessary of a risk. That's all. But hey, plenty of other people have different opinions. Certainly the guys in the afternoon have a different opinion. They're entitled to it. I just wish they would stick to one opinion rather than changing it literally every day. But okay.
Like, I'm the only person in this market that travels every week during the football season and talks to GMs and talks to head coaches and does all that stuff, right? Because of my work with Fox. And just an observation. The teams that have philosophical continuity from front office to coaching staffs that are completely together and understand exactly what they want in each player that they draft, that have that continuity, that it's not throwing darts. It is a true team effort. And this is where I think George Payton is going to have a huge impact come draft time. Like, it has got to be everybody, all hands on deck. And everybody's got to understand exactly what we're looking for in every player on the roster based upon that player's position. So what should our guards look like? What should our corners look like? What should our slot corner look like? What should our safeties look like? What should our interior D linemen look like? What should our edge rushers look like? What should our middle linebackers look like? What are the parameters? Right? What is the intelligence level of our players? What do those have? And then you have to create a profile for each position. And the good teams have this, Mike. I mean, I talk to them every week. The good teams understand exactly what they're looking for. And if you don't fit within those parameters, you can be in the bottom end or the top end of those parameters, but you got to be in the parameters. And if you don't fit, you know what? We don't vary. We don't waver. We don't go, yeah, but what if? Like, what if Paxton Lynch with the big arm? What if he actually, you know, starts to study or he starts to understand football? Then what would we have? We don't go down that road.
Oh, no. We do. We did. And it was a disaster.
And that's what I'm saying. Sometimes you don't even know you're doing it, and it just happens.
Day number what, 2149? Oh, day number 20. I think it's day number 2149. Day number 2149. Because we're very precise when it comes to the Paxton Lynch smear campaign. All right. Let's get to a question mark. This is KKFN and KKFN HD1 Longmont, Denver.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.